Yeah, this ought to be the theme song to the UVA defense, the Orange Crush, because I tell you, they played some really decent, excellent defense over the last couple of weeks. All right, Hobbo has more questions for Terry Gates.
I was just going to ask Terry, you know, your team played all the way till the championship Monday in the consolation game, so you had as long a season as any Virginia team's ever had. How do you play your best basketball in March? You know, you were a team started out, as we said, undefeated, a lot of pressure, but everybody's judged by how they do in March. So what would your advice be to Tony Bennett and this group?
You know, it's probably a blessing that Syracuse is 12-0 and they're 12-1, so they're almost under the radar. You know, both these teams are having close games. It's 5-on-5. It's, you know, the ball has to go in. You can play the best. You can do everything perfectly right, but if the ball doesn't go in, if it comes out and some other team you're playing is motivated, it's their gym, a couple calls don't go the way, someone's not feeling good. I mean, it can be tough. And like I said, that Clemson game was nothing pretty about it. But when you start off in a hole like they were in, you just got to play for 40 minutes, X number of possessions, and hope for the best. And the beauty of it is that they have some kids coming off the bench and high energy, and Justin Anderson and Anthony Gill's playing very well. Even Darian Atkins, he knows what his role is to rebound. He catches the ball. He's not passing the ball to anyone. If he gets the ball 4, 5, 6 feet from the basket, he's shooting it, which is he ought to be doing.
Now, did Coach Holland, did he take his foot off the accelerator in practice or anything late that year, or how did he handle that?
Well, during that time, and I wasn't a starter at the beginning of the year, but we had practices that would go, they were an hour and 10 minutes. It was on the back of the locker room door what we were doing. And if we did it all right and we did it properly with the right enthusiasm and we were paying attention, we were out of there. I could go to the weight room. You could shoot free throws. You could leave early, or you could work on what you wanted to. Now, if he didn't like it, he'd start that practice over 15 minutes in, we would do layups and go in because he wanted to get our attentions and make sure that, you know, we had to perform at a high level. And I mean, it was pretty simple. When Caroline would come into play, he would say, "Okay, you guys think you're good. And you have a really good record. And you're playing really well. But how many players on UNC's team did we try to recruit?" And the answer was like 7 or 8. How many players in this locker room did Dean Smith recruit? It was one. So, you know, they won a lot of recruiting wars there. Now, we had Ralph and we had Lamp and Raker, you know, but the fact of the matter is you have to outperform. And you know, who did Carolina have but, you know, James Worthy and Sam Perkins and
a guy named Jordan.
Yeah.
All on one team. And you wonder, they came within a hair of not winning.
Yeah, if it weren't for downtown Freddie Brown making that bad pass.
Yeah. How bizarre is that?
And I don't know what the number is, okay, but I've said, you know, how many NBA All-Star games are between Worthy, Perkins, and Jordan? That's got to be 30-some.
Take Clemson. Who played for Clemson in that era? Do you remember?
Tree Rollins, or was he before that?
Before that.
Yeah.
Well, I know I had course, a chase, a greyhound, up and down the floor. A guy named Larry Nance.
Oh, yeah. Great Scott.
6'10", about 210.
And could jump.
Yeah. Whew. And he didn't have to rebound because there's a guy named Moose Campbell, okay,
well, you know,
who was 260.
I think we've had this conversation before when you were here, but, you know, that was a different era. And I, to be honest, I think the basketball was better then because guys stayed longer.
Yeah.
You know, this one and done now, I mean, you know, you're never going to have a Ralph Sampson or somebody of that caliber stay as long as he did.
No, that's over with.
So, I mean, and teams sort of got used to each other. You developed a little chemistry, some experience. So you, not only did you have good players, you also had some teamwork in that period of time.
And if you watch the Kentucky-Florida game on Saturday night.
I saw part of it.
Bunch of freshmen against some older, mature Florida players, and who won the game? You know, it was the older, mature Florida player. So.
Hey, I need to point something out here. Right here on the ACC basketball media release, it shows Cavaliers are ranked
14th.
14th in the AP, but 13th in the coaches' poll. And they're rising a two, three, four slots every week.
That's what happens when you keep winning.
That means absolutely nothing.
I know.
Absolutely nothing.
It doesn't mean much, but I mean, you know, right now they're probably at least a 4 seed on the tournament bill bracket, and they could easily move up to a 2 or 3 depending on how the rest of the season goes.
I think to do that, they have to have a very successful ACC tournament. No question.
Well, hold on. Time out.
Or be first or tied for first in the regular season.
Yeah.
A few thoughts before you go way down that road. All right, Virginia Tech tomorrow night.
Hey, we weren't the one talking about Syracuse a couple
weeks
ago.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
Scary game tomorrow night. All right. No question.
I think this is a classic trap game. I did see an interesting tidbit on Virginia Tech's point guard, Devin Wilson. He leads all ACC freshmen in free throws per game at 6.2 and is second in assists at 4.5. Now, he also hadn't met too many opportunities where he passed up a shot. I've noticed that as well. But
and they got some, you know, the
Jarrell Eddy can shoot.
And Barksdale, and who's the other guy? Thompson.
Sadarian Raines can be tough.
He's kind of on the bench, but
they've got some big guys. Yeah. So, you know, if Eddy starts, that's the thing that would scare me. If they make some threes early, then get the crowd in the game. So,
then we just have to bring out Nolte.
Well, and keep in mind, when they open the paper up, who are they reading about? In the Roanoke Times, and you know, it's
well, yeah, we've gone from the hunter to the hunted. You know, that's the one thing about having a good year and moving up in the polls.
Well, it's interesting. Let's look at the games ahead. All right, so tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, ACC Network, Wahoos versus Hokies down in Blacksburg. On Saturday, Virginia will entertain the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame at 2 o'clock. That game will be on ESPN or ESPN2. These two games now represent, I think, almost double trap games because Tech on the road, dangerous, hostile environment, and their students are going to be going bonkers. Well, just if for no other reason, they've been indoors with all the snow. They're just going to be letting it out.
Every game's a potential trap game, but between now and Syracuse, the game that I was most concerned about was Clemson on Saturday because they're a pretty good basketball team, and that's a tough place to play. But, you know, our margin of error is still thin.
I disagree. I think you've overstated that all year. This team with these 10 players.
I mean, they're a good basketball
team.
This
team, just like Seth Greenberg, who said this live for everyone in the nation to hear this past Saturday during halftime, he said Virginia is capable of the Final Four, the Elite Eight. This is a very good basketball team.
Well, before the year started, I said, and I still feel this way, that Virginia is a Sweet 16 caliber team, and once you get to the Sweet 16, it's a crapshoot.
Anything can happen.
Well, there's a lot, still a lot of upside to this team because what we've witnessed so far this year is kind of the changing of the guard where Harris was the go-to guy. Brogdon comes back from taking a year off from foot surgery, comes back in, and now he's the go-to guy. And that's a lot, not to say these guys don't like each other, but that's kind of grating. And if you're Perantes, who do you pass the ball to with 30 seconds to go at the end of the first half? Harris or Brogdon?
Whoever's open.
Well, yeah. But, you know,
I agree.
There's a go-to guy on every team, and now it could be either one. So that they got to iron all that out. You've got Toby coming in who's got more upside. And, you know,
Gil has been making good moves, good decisions, and his defense has improved. Thus, in my opinion, Tony Bennett is trusting him more, and he's leaving him on the floor longer since the beginning of the season.
Well, part of that is because Toby's only playing 20 minutes a game. Mitchell, who's had a kind of up and down year, except he competes hard. You know, he had 9 rebounds against Clemson. That's huge.
Yes.
But, you know, I think he's just playing now. He could have been the third scorer. He could have been this or that. That's just not in his DNA.
I don't think Coach likes Toby and Gil on the floor at the same time for an extended period of time. I think he feels they may not be his best defensive options.
Right.
So I think he likes either to have Darian Atkins or Mitchell out there with –
Well, he has to have one strong guy. Well, to go with those two guys, and admittedly, they're more finesse players.
But the difference on this team as opposed to recent teams at Virginia is we just have a number of offensive options that in recent years we've had one or two options, and that was about it.
And just think if Perantes, there are times when I watch that Clemson game, who's the point guard? Because you really don't – he doesn't shoot. He passes a lot, but, you know, if he ever inserts himself in the offense to any degree.
Which I think he will in due course. But anyway, we got our bottom of the hour break. We're here with Terry Gates talking a lot of basketball tonight. We'll get on to the Olympic sports in the second half hour. But stay tuned. You're listening to Who's Talking.